smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We have got the guest of all guests. I love when she comes on. She's with the Exodus Foundation. It's Dr. Madeline McClenney. Good morning.
Good morning, Francine. Thank you.
Why is it every time that we get together, a black man has died? What is the deal?
It's a continuation of the root of racial hatred that we have not yet stamped out, Francine.
She is a prison abolitionist, and I am loving that title. I know the ancestors are very proud of you because you're doing the work. You do this full time. Tipping my hat to you. You do this full time.
Thank you.
So over the 25 years that you've been doing this, is the storyline still the same?
Unfortunately, Francine, we've made some progress, but look at the numbers of those who are in prison. You know, the focus of our work is supporting people when they come out of prison on the local level through our mentoring program, and on the national level, mass clemency, getting people out of prison who don't need to be there, and restructuring our concepts about punishment, you know, moving toward restorative justice. Things have improved on some level, but in terms of black and brown people in the cage, not nearly enough.
It makes me upset when I see that we have legalized marijuana, but we still have African-American men in jail for 2-3 joints, right? For possession. It's just mind-boggling. And when I saw, yeah, it was Patriot Act on Netflix, when I saw John Boehner, they played a piece on him where he is like the fat daddy, cat daddy when it comes to weed dispensaries. John Boehner, the ex-Speaker of the House.
Yes. And so in my view, the only people that should have a license to sell it are the people we locked up for selling it. They should have the first 30 years on business licenses for the sale of marijuana, and it's unconscionable. It is absolutely unconscionable.
Right now, it's hard to get a license anyway because they're controlling it so much from the top that if you are getting it, if you are African-American and you are a grower, just happen to be one, they'll have companies come in purposely to try to take your company. But anyway, I'm going to let you talk. You go for it. What are you doing for the community these days?
A project with Hearts for Inmates, one of our partners in South Carolina. You know, with COVID, it's just distressing that our brothers and sisters behind the wall cannot physical distance. They don't have adequate supplies of soap. And so we want your listeners to know they can help save lives and prevent infection when people come home by supporting Hearts for Inmates and our efforts collectively to get 38,000 bars of soap into the prisons in South Carolina. And we need to get donations to help us purchase 200 oximeters. You know, Francine, some people are not able to get out of their from the ambulance into the hospital because their oxygen levels fall so low before they even realize it the way COVID works. Hearts for Inmates has permission to get 2 oximeters in every unit in every prison. So we want your listeners to use this as an opportunity to send soap. You can send to ExodusFoundation.org at 13016 Eastfield Road, 3200-214. Our mailing address is, and that's Huntersville, North Carolina, 28078. You know, help our brothers and sisters kill those germs.
If they need bars of soap, isn't that part of what we pay for as a taxpayer when folks do go to prison?
Right. There's limited supply, and what they get are very tiny, like hotel size soap bars that don't last long. And if you don't have money to purchase your own soap, then you're out of luck. And so we don't want anyone to be in that position.
Log on now to ExodusFoundation.org, correct? And we can find out all the information and where to mail it.
Yes, our mailing address is on the website, and you can make a donation by Cash App to Heart for Inmates on Cash App, for Inmates. Well, then we'll purchase the oximeters and soap that we need to get into the prison.
Are oximeters very expensive?
Normally they should run about $7, but they're running for $100 now. But if you go on Amazon or just Google it, you can find some for about $20. If you have one laying around the house and your grandmother or someone that was once ill that no longer needs it anymore, we'll take a used oximeter too. It's that little device that you put on your finger that reads your oxygen level and your pulse.
Do we need any thermometers?
No. We only have permission with for the soap and the oximeter.
Hearts mm-hmm. with an S for inmates?
That's right. With what's happening in our nation, I'm sure you've been watching the news about Mr. Floyd's murder. We really have to come together, the community, and work on these issues collectively. Distressing that we've been so mistreated and abused. If you were born in the 60s or earlier and you're a person of color, it's likely that half or more of your relationships with white people have been emotionally and or physically abusive. We're overwhelmed on every side, whether it's just going into the office and being in a cubicle next to someone who's constantly questioning our every move, applying for a raise or applying for a promotion, you know, just coming home and stopping at the grocery store. You just never know what you're going to encounter. And then you have to fight for your children's education at every level. I had to fight to participate in the PTA, evenly divided school along the racial line. But the white mothers, more often than not, were stay-home mothers. I happened to be a stay-home mother at the time. And it was like fighting tooth and nails to get into, to participate. And then on top of that, the emails that we were getting were coming from a mother, head of the PTA, and her email was lynchmob@gmail.com. So my point is, like, you cannot escape. We experience, you know, trauma what? On various levels over and over and over again. You know, my heart goes out to, yeah, and that's not nearly enough, but I'm just numb with what's happened. I like the way one journalist put it, Francine. She said, this is one of these award-winning journalists, her name escapes me right now, but she said, we've been so mistreated by white people. It is a great moral accomplishment that we like any of them at all. And if that offends you, right, white or black, if you heard that quote and that offends you, then that tells me that you have not adequately studied our history. You have not adequately studied our history. You can tell in the people that are hoping for some kind of ultimate racial conflict, because they don't understand our community. All that we have sought to do is breathe freely in this country. And the deaths of Eric Garner and George Floyd are horrific and barbaric. They symbolize the fact that we can hardly breathe in this nation. And we've been choked out on so many different levels.
You know what? I'm so glad he had his phone, the bird watcher. I am so glad. It was almost poetic on his end, whereas the woman was reacting like she had planned it, or she's like, "Ooh, I can't wait to tell my friends what I just did." I know people who have called the police on 60 and 70 year old homeless people that were around our building. And I'm like, who are they going to hurt? The man just wants to sit down. He just wants to sit in. Can you let the homeless man sit down without calling the police? Can you?
So, you know, did you notice that the Union of Police Officers asked the public not to jump to conclusions? And, I mean, just let that sit with us for a minute. The audacity of anyone who saw that videotape and that man who was completely harmless, to say not to jump to conclusions. If that was your son, would you say that? You know, policing as we know it limits black social inclusion as bona fide citizens. Part of the dilemma we face with people of color is that we are not viewed as full citizens deserving of all of our constitutional rights and protection. And what I'm hoping is that, honestly, white people on police, in policing and law enforcement, have got to be screened in a different way. And guaranteed, you know, we know black officers can make these errors too, but we see largely white officers taking the lives of unarmed black people. And that somebody has to the police associations have to address that. Quite frankly, there should be a moratorium on hiring any more white officers, and definitely add the death penalty. Well, this is a hate crime. It needs to be called a hate crime anytime there's a white officer killing a black unarmed person. It should be, you should start off with it as a hate crime and then review the video footage and the tape and the evidence and see if it needs to be reduced from there. But automatically, in this country without history, it should qualify as a hate crime.
I love it when people say, well, they'll have their day in court. You know, that's lip service, right? Our mother used to say, stop giving me that lip service. Dr. Madeline McClenney's joining us this morning, Exodus Foundation. Please, I know we've only got about 5 more minutes together. Hearts for Inmates, you are definitely taking
soap and oximeters. Soap in order to so that our brothers and sisters can wash their hands adequately to prevent the spread of COVID. Oximeters so that they can check their oxygen levels. And because this disease creeps up on some people in such a way that by the time they realize they're losing their breath, it's almost too late. And once you get on that ventilator, you know, 88% of people don't make it off successfully. So, but there's some other things we're going to be doing in the future. Francine, I'd love to come back and talk to you about on a national level with ending mass incarceration, multi-faith movement, and calling all pros. We need our black philanthropists to pay attention to black-led, black-serving organizations in this racial climate. And too often, we are overlooked, inadequately supported. And so we need all of you listeners, you know, you can make a donation to the foundation at exodusfoundation.org. Our donate button, proud members of Share Charlotte.
You do so much for us. The least we can do is give a bar of soap, give an oximeter. I'll just say this in closing. This COVID situation seems so man-made, and I'll leave it at that. It just doesn't feel right.
For anyone that wants to explore that further, do some research on Dr. Francis Boyle. He is the attorney who wrote the Anti-Bioterrorism Act.
How do you spell his last name?
B-O-Y-L-E-S. Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S, Boyle.
Read up. And go to the website right now. It's exodusfoundation.org. Dr. Madeline McClenney, thank you so much.
Thank you, Francine. Anytime.
Well, your 1 hour of public talk radio is up. I do not know where the time goes when we're having so much fun. Today was a heavy topic at the end. I know. I'm your hostess of the mostest, Francine Marie. I'll see you back here next weekend, same time, same station. Until we meet, and I know we will, I want you to have a good week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for the Francine Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now. See you next week.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.